I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, AfterBuzzers! Welcome! We are the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show here at AfterBuzz TV, week three in quarantine. Talking about this show, not just like quarantine altogether, right? But we're here. We're super thrilled to be here today chatting with you all about one of our favorite TV shows, reality TV shows, keeping us sane during these times. But I can't do this alone. I have here with me Ethan Paisley, huge fan of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Right? Yes.
Oh, bona fide fan of Beverly Hills, baby.
Yes. And with us also, we have Jane Johnson. Right here, the queen of Bravo. Hey.
What's up, you guys? Bravo queens, baby.
Hey. We're here chatting all about episode three today with you all. We have some really juicy news involving Teddy that Jane will be discussing towards the end of the show. We also have a special segment, super fun segment coming up later on as well on the show that Ethan's going to be chatting with us about. So that should be really interesting. It's one of my favorites towards the end. So that's always fun. And, you know, let's just jump right into last night's episode because there were certain moments that delivered, certain moments that for me, I was just not very, I wasn't a fan of. I'm like, okay, let's give this a little bit of pace. But at the end of the day, right, it's the very beginning of the season. So there's definitely a lot more to be expected, a lot of retreats, the trip, stuff I can't wait to chat about and see on the season. But let's start off chatting about the very beginning of the episode, we got to see a little bit more about Erica. And I feel like with Erica, she's just opening up a lot more. And we've heard this conversation with her before about her relationship with her mom. But now, you know, her having this really big opportunity on Broadway as Roxy in Chicago, it just kind of opened things up in a bigger perspective. So Ethan, can you chat with me a little bit and tell us your thoughts about what you thought of what she had to say of how her mom treated her at such a young age and how it stuck to her?
You know, I think any performing arts kid can relate to what Erica Jane was saying. You're always gonna have people laughing at you or judging you when you put yourself in the spotlight. So I think it's really inspirational to see where she is now. She's on Broadway and she just kept going, which is what you have to do to make it in this business. So I'm super happy for her. It was cool to hear her story and I'm glad she's opening up more this season.
What about you, Jane? What did you think when you saw that? Was it kind of cringeworthy or did it get to you?
Oh, no. For me, it was so beautiful because I feel like everyone, especially in the creative world, has these moments that define whether or not you're going to say, maybe that's not for me, or if you're going to be a strong person who pushes forward beyond those constraints. And I mean, I don't know who's listening, who's done the hippy dippy kind of artist way stuff like I have, but those moments like what happened with Erica and her mom can be defined as creative scars and they stick with you. And it's obvious that it stuck with Erica Jane for her whole life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for her to be able to acknowledge that as the first thing that pops into her head, like beyond just someone encouraging her, she's like, well, I know the time when something bad happened. And I think all of us, especially people who are in a creative realm, have those moments where like it stings like a needle, you know, where it's like, I know that time when someone told me that I wasn't a writer, or I know that time when someone told me that I wasn't creative, or I know that time when someone told me I wasn't funny, you know, and those needles can stick with you enough to make you just go, you know what, it's not for me. I'm not meant to do this. Or you can decide to push through. And so like, starting the episode off with this was such a beautiful moment to see because especially for anyone like Erica, who's like so into Broadway or even just understands or knows, like Roxy Hart is the role in Chicago. That is the role, the pinnacle, the praise, like that's the dream. And she did it despite being pushed down by someone who should be the most important influence in her life. So like I was living for this, and it's so inspiring to see it, even just in the last few episodes and when she's always talking about it, you know, like she's always wanted to do this her whole life. And at 35, it started to be an opportunity. So there's just so much in this series that like, as housewives, I look at them and I'm like, I have so much life left to live, so much left to experience. And you never know when it's going to happen. And for her in this time, it's happening because she stuck with it. And I'm just like, yes, girl, yes.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. It's like, you just never know when it's going to happen. And for her, she's a living testament to that. And that she was able to, I don't know, have that drive and that motivation to continue going and getting to the point where she is right now, which is a huge deal. So, you know, as a fan myself, I love watching her. I already love her. And then just adding more to her personality and seeing her open up so much more and having these opportunities, it's amazing to see that for sure. So I hope we get to see it later on in the season, her performing. That would be really cool. I think I remember reading an article that the girls took a trip out to New York to see her live. So I hope that we were able to see that this season and have them all together. Let's jump into the conversation between Teddy, Lisa, and Sutton. They had this whole gathering. I want to say like a lunch gathering. And to me, this specific scene seemed a little bit set up. I do feel like Lisa set this up and she knew what was coming for Teddy, and she kind of knew how Sutton felt a certain way about Teddy. And Sutton just does not hold back her words. She thinks something and she just says it. She blurts it out, and it's kind of like a word vomit. But there was a lot of little tidbits in this season that really struck out to me. But let's start off with, first off, Sutton, right? They were talking about her gift bag and at her launch party, and that purse. Can we talk about that purse, that clutch? Are you guys a fan of that clutch? Yeah?
I loved that clutch. I want one. There's got to be some kind of fast fashion knockoff version, you know?
It was $1,860 for that clutch. Is it worth that much money?
I mean, no. I could see a knockoff at Forever 21 for $24.99.
Yeah. Knockoff at Forever 21, and all you have to do is sew a glove on it. Like, what was that glove, like that glove section that, you know, they were holding the clutch with?
The glove is from the pleasure chest in West Hollywood.
And the clutch God. You know exactly where to go, Jane.
Okay. You know, we all got a great crafty.
I see you now. Yeah, I see you now. So another thing that was brought up, right, was Sutton and how she said she went in on Teddy and said, hey, you need to have a little bit of more manners of how you communicate with someone when it's your communication just isn't working for me. Let me give you some tips. She even said, should I write you a note card of how you should approach the situation? What did you think, Ethan?
Okay, so many thoughts on this. Principally, you know, I go back and forth on Sutton. Last week I hated her, the week before I loved her. Okay, after Lisa Rinna gave us background on Sutton and told us a little bit more about the society she's part of, I kind of started to see through Sutton. Like, I understood her perspective, because Sutton is a woman, right, who invests in the like American Ballet Conservatory. She's on the board at MoCA. And I just feel like she holds a little bit more, a little bit more of a standard with these group of women. She's not necessarily of, I don't want to say their class, because they're obviously like extremely wealthy, you know, well-to-do people. But I mean, Sutton's socializing with like kings and queens, I feel like. And she's here with Teddy talking, like telling her what her point of view is, which is, you know, have manners, be respectful, and be clear and to the point, because I don't have time for this. So I kind of understand where Sutton's coming from in a very strange way.
What did you think, Jane?
Yeah, you know, I just feel like Sutton's delivery is the issue at this point. Because, I feel like I loved the note card moment where she was saying, like, can I just write you a note card of how to act? I think that both of them are guilty of horrible delivery. Teddy not being able to let up on the fact that she is being absurd about whether or not people are invited. Like, Sutton's correct in saying, I'm coming. Do you seriously not want me to come? But it, like, her throughout the episode just telling people how to have good manners is, like, just a lot. I mean, we'll get to it at the dinner, but, like, in this case, I understood. And at the dinner, I'm just like, girl, you're not at the Met Gala. Like, this isn't, I don't know, whatever. Yeah.
At this point, I'm kind of wondering, why is she even part of this group? Like, if she has such high expectations and if she hangs around with such amazing and high-end people that were couture. And what was that other thing she said? I can't even remember the other word that she used, off the rack or something like that.
They were talking about ready-to-wear versus
ready-to-wear. That, yeah. It's like, if you wear couture and ready-to-wear and you know that these girls don't do that, these women don't do that, why would you set yourself up to be part of the show?
You know, I feel like this is a trend now. I feel like no longer can we have rich people and famous people. Like, rich people now have to be famous too. And I really think she's probably just doing the show to build that audience. Like, everyone wants an audience these days, no matter how much money you have. I really feel like she's just part of that movement.
She needs it for the boutique.
Yep.
Which, by the way, we're going to do more research on that once quarantine is over. Totally going to stop by. But it's just, it's amazing because in every single scene, she looked very much annoyed and she had to be correcting herself and justifying. I feel like this whole episode did revolve a lot around her and certain things that she did have to say. But let's jump into the dinner party because that is the nitty gritty of the episode. And, you know, BH is known for its dinner parties. Something always goes down at these dinner parties. And so I was expecting, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Kyle's house looked gorgeous. It from everything. All the ladies dressed up. Let's start off talking about, as everybody was getting ready, Mauricio, like, shirtless in the kitchen. He just looks better than ever. Am I right? Am I the only one?
I think that for me, Mauricio is like the hottest husband of the housewife crew, but he definitely has a dad bod. And here, I want to be very clear in saying I'm not shaming a dad bod because I'm like blind to the bod situation. If you've got a cute face and an amazing personality, like, I'm here for it. My sister actually noticed it because we're quarantining together. I was like, yeah, he looks so hot. And she's like, he has a dad bod. And I'm like, true, hot.
You know, I like a little muscle, a little definition. So I still
he
think
had muscle. No? Mauricio, again, and you're giving us more. So on the car ride, right, there was Lisa and Erica living for that moment too, right, as they're both drinking on their way. Amazing. And Garcelle just enters, right, with this dress. What did we think about these outfits that these ladies wore, including Lisa's zebra outfit?
Where can I get a men's version of the Rachel Zoe zebra suit? Loved it. I just love Lisa. I mean, own it. Like, she owns it every single time. Love her outfit was number one for me.
What about you?
Interesting take, because I do feel like Garcelle came last for a reason. She was making a fashionably late entrance. It was a moment. I was like, bow down to the queen, because that it was just perfectly assembled between that crisp white button down with that high-low black tulle skirt. She looked fabulous. And then she was kind of coordinating with one of the other ladies. Was it Kyle? I can't quite recall, but they were coordinating with a white crisp blouse, and then she was wearing black pants. I want to say it was Kyle, but correct me in the comments, because the comments are popping off, by the way. You guys are having so much fun in there.
What's going on? What's going on in the comments?
Oh my God. Well, they're literally having their own party in here. You guys in the comments, let us know. Someone, Candy 2010 says Queen Garcelle. People are loving the outfits from this party. But yeah, the zebra outfit, I loved that they were giving props to my girl, Rachel Zoe. We got to give her a moment. She designed that zebra suit. And I'm still not over leopard. I would like to see like a leopard one, maybe even a snake skin. But I think
that's more Atlanta. Yeah. More Atlanta vibe. Everybody from Nene and everyone wears leopard and zebra and all those prints, which I love. That's just,
I guess,
like
it's
them.
More Kyle's fashion show.
Oh,
yeah,
shade.
Kyle Richards at this little get together.
Why was my it girl, Kyle?
My girl Jean Welsom in the comments said didn't feel Lisa's or Sutton's outfits at all. I liked Sutton's dress.
Oh, loved Sutton's dress.
Yeah.
Couture or not couture. Adorable.
I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan of Sutton's dress, and I wasn't a fan of Lisa's suit. I don't know. There was something to it. I just wasn't. I really, really loved Kyle's outfit. I loved her earrings. I think they really stood out. I don't know. It was just, but I love that every single woman really did bring it to the table and they dressed to impress. And that's the way to do it for a dinner party. Let's jump into this whole situation from Sutton. Right? She's like, there's no assigned seating. Where am I going to sit? There's no place cards at all. And the worst thing happens to her where she's left without a seat, not knowing where to sit. The thoughts on this. I don't even know what question to come up with because I feel like we could just jump in and talk about that.
Can we just talk about the fact that, like, of course she gets seated next to Teddy after that scene at Yardbird. Like that is, those are the moments with reality TV where I see the smoke and mirrors a little bit. I'm a little bit suspicious that maybe that was made up for a reason, but what do you guys think?
Yes, that was totally a producer move, especially since she was really like hyping up how she literally was like, I'm anxious, I'm uncomfortable at not knowing where to sit. And then all of a sudden she ends up next to Teddy. I just was like, this is so over the top. Like, I understand that you need a little place card to tell you where to sit. Like, not even all weddings have assigned seating. And you're going to someone's dinner party. Yes, it is in bougie Encino, but there doesn't need to be a place card. I agree. It was a producer move. But for her to literally stand there as if she was going to faint, being like, I don't know where to sit and I'm so anxious. Like, time stopped. I was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I felt really uncomfortable watching that. And then what made it worse was that Sutton said, the conversation about sex came up and Sutton was like, that is not a conversation to have in this table. And so Teddy was like, well, then what is a conversation? Like, what else can you talk about? Like, what makes it so much juicier? And so it was Lisa that came up, Rinna that came up with this game to play of first impressions. Right. And now impressions that you're left with. Right. Is that correct? I think it was first impressions and impressions now after meeting everyone. And so everybody was kind of going around seeing something really, really nice around the table of their first impressions of the person next to them. What were your thoughts, I guess, Jane, in terms of this game? Because it seemed like they were saying nice things about one another. And the only person that said something real was Mauricio when he's like, who are these ladies? And why are you talking so nice about one another when this is not something that you do?
Yes, that was crazy because it started out so sweet. And then it just like eventually started to turn. Like, I wrote down so many of them because I was just shook by what started to transpire. But even like Kyle said to Garcelle, you're more fabulous than I realized. And they all took it sweet. And I was like, that has a little bit of shade, right? So I could see even why Garcelle from the get-go like thought there was beef and Kyle didn't, because she meant it nicely, but it just sounded kind of rude. But yeah, then Sutton to Teddy, I thought you were going to be boring, then pregnant, God help us, but you're way more interesting than I thought.
Those were the moments
that was Sutton. So bad.
where I'm like, the pregnancy comment, was that really necessary? Like, that just makes you not a rich, you know, upper echelon woman. That just makes you a bitch. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
It was that moment where she said, oh, and now pregnant, like, you were annoying, and now you're going to be even more annoying.
Yeah. And I don't know if we've talked about this yet on this show, or if it was in a deep Twitter hole that I was in, but either way, it's like, are we really going to start to villainize the pregnant girl on the show? Because I know we were talking about Teddy is going to start to be the villain.
Yes. And what I say. News, that was my prediction.
News. I texted Maite and Ethan this week. I was like, Maite, I think you're right. News, we're going to get there. So I think she is being the villain. Mm-hmm. But it's like, is this a bad look on Bravo that the pregnant woman is the villain?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or is it truly just all on Teddy and this would have happened anyway, baby in the oven or not?
I think regardless, it would have probably been laid on Teddy. And I do feel like probably, this is another thing too, that Lisa went in and defended her during the little confessional. And so I'm thinking to myself, how long is this going to last where Lisa's going to continue to defend what Sutton is saying? And I get it. There is some truth to what Sutton says. And she's like, what, am I not supposed to be saying the truth? And so it kind of contradicts her a little bit, but at the same time, there's a certain way, and I think Jane, you're right, when it's like her delivery needs to be a little bit different. And it's all in that little detail of how you say things, because once you say it, it's a done deal. Sutton, she said all of these things. Then, the whole conversation came up about the retreat, and Rinna was the first one to say, well, I was the first one that said I didn't want to go, and the waterworks just came for Teddy, and she just got really, really emotional. She had to step out, and I think we have seen her in past seasons that she pretty much does get pretty emotional, but her husband was really, really touching towards her. What did you think about this whole attack against Teddy? And did you feel like she was being attacked, or did you all feel like she was being supported by the rest of the girls when she walked back inside?
I thought she was being like genuinely supported. And I even felt like Sutton like was sorry when she said, I'm sorry. I think Teddy just tends to take things a little too seriously and can be a little bit emotionally draining. I mean, obviously she's pregnant, so like I feel for her, but it kind of just like elongated the scene for me. It made me a little, I don't know. I was just a little bit like classic Teddy, you know, here we go.
Yeah. What did you think, Jane?
I liked when she had the meltdown. I don't know why. I mean, I'm glad that the woman like brought her back, but I just feel like, I don't know why. I was like, I kind of liked seeing her crack, because it showed a little bit of humanity, you know, that she wasn't just going to like take this all. She was like, oh God, no, this really is getting to me. And then here's the thing that I thought was interesting about all that is that right when she comes back to sit down, her makeup looked incredible. Like, it looked like nothing happened. It looked like she hadn't even cried. So I was just wondering, like, if she touched up or what. She was truly glowing, but like nothing looked smeared. I was like, how did that happen?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Also, I will say that the comments are going wild for Mauricio. Everyone's loving Mauricio at this dinner.
Thank you. Yes, I have people agreeing with me.
I'm more of an Aaron guy. Comment if you're team Aaron.
Oh my God, let's please, for the love of God, get into Aaron, because that was so entertaining. But yeah, yes, Candy back at it with this hot comment. She goes, I like Stoner Mauricio. Prob only way he could get through the dinner.
Yep.
Yes. And he was the only one that made it really, really fun for the dinner, because, you know, the whole conversation came up about about Denise's husband, Aaron, and Kyle asked a big question. Well, what is it that you do? What is it that you're working on? And then it just came out like waterworks. We've been followed. I'm always being followed. It was a conversation and a moment that, yeah, it literally blew. It was mind blowing. So let's just get into that conversation about Denise's husband. Was it a good idea for Kyle to ask him? Because right in the middle of that question, right in the middle of Aaron explaining himself, it was just like, please stop, please stop. Like, you don't need to go any further. What did you think, Ethan?
I mean, for TV, obviously, I'm glad she asked. For all intents and purposes around having an enjoyable dinner, no, this was so awkward. I mean, and he just kept talking and talking and talking. And honestly, guys, I'm really curious to hear what you took away from what he said, because I still don't understand what his company does. I still don't understand why people are following them. Perhaps it's because they're celebrities on this TV show. But what does he do? Anyone?
It's like a fusion therapy. That's all I got from it. Am I right, Jane? Like, I'm sure you know
I
more.
I don't know. And you know what? This should have been one of the deep dives I went on before this show. I will try to figure out some of this for news next week. But sound off in the comments if you guys have any idea what he actually does for a living. But this part of the dinner turned into like a Going Clear Scientology documentary / like a new product reveal from Elon Musk at a tech conference. Like, I don't know what this was, but I was like living for it, even though I had no idea what he was saying. The part where they would show them being followed, I was like, this needs to be a spinoff. Like, why aren't we doing some weird like Oxygen documentary about Aaron's job?
Because
there's a lot going on there. And that should be one of the like conspiracy theories that they're making us talk about more on the show. Why there's drama? Like, I don't know, but it was incredible.
I was on the same page with you there, Jane, until he said cancer was good for you. Like, he literally said, that's the only thing I got. He said, cancer is like a best friend that protects you from getting shot. I was like, okay, is this man even hot to me anymore? This is it.
I know. He was so hot before this. And oh my God, Jean in the comments was killing me. She said, I jumped off the Aaron wagon after this dinner.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was like dream man. And then he started to just like get possessed by this like MK Ultra CIA weirdness where he was like, cancer's good.
It's like he's great. He's a good looking guy. But once he opens his mouth, it's like, huh? Wait, what? What are you talking about? The whole thing too, Mauricio, he was just like really into it because he was completely stoned. He's like, yeah, man, that's totally right. Like he was egging him on to continue, which was really funny because everyone's faces, I lived for that moment. How confused every single person looked. And I think that maybe this has to do with why Denise stopped filming. You know how they gave that special part in the very first episode that like, oh, Denise stopped filming in December. I think this probably has something to do with it.
Yes, because basically, okay, so I'm going to get to it in news, but there was that huge Entertainment Tonight interview with Teddy. And basically they break down, the host of it was saying like all of the stuff about the Brandy Denise thing, like in the trailer happens after Aaron and Denise are walking out and she's like, bravo, bravo, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Like
yes.
It chronologically in the trailer happens after that. She's like, we don't need this. And that drama happens after. So there is, Teddy was basically saying there is like an event and other reasons, which is what Maite, you're saying is like,
right.
There's other reasons and maybe this is it. Also, Amir, our lovely host at AfterBuzz, is sounding off in the comments and he said, Aaron works on fusion energy. And I said, send receipts because I'm still confused.
Oh, yes.
What is this?
What is it? Like, does he help develop it? Does he sell it? Is he like a third party? Is he a researcher? I mean, there's like a lot of things. And then what really is fusion therapy or, you know, that? There's a lot. So I think he probably didn't do a really good job at explaining it from scratch. And he could have made it a little bit, it just wasn't a conversation. It wasn't the moment to have that conversation with him because it really was a Debbie Downer for the dinner party.
And then Mauricio Stone in the corner was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, he was just egging him on. That was my favorite. I was like, Mauricio for the win, totally on his side. And it's, yeah.
What did he mean, just real quick, what did he mean when he said she's protected? And Denise was like, oh, like yeah. She was all intense. I was like, what does that mean? Am I protected? Like,
no, you're not. Clearly we're not.
Didn't you guys feel at a certain point when he started off saying this, I was like, is he one of those like holistic Western energy healers? Or Eastern, I don't know. I felt like he was some kind of energy healer. Mm-hmm. And then it got into a scientific place where he was like otherworldly. So I really don't know.
Yeah, you know what too? When Denise was in the hotel trying to get better, she said, you know, when Lisa called her and she's like, hey, like, how are you feeling? Like, are you on any painkillers? And she's like, no, like I've been taking all of these herbs. And she's like, no, like pop them pills if you're in pain. So I think you're right, Jane. Like there's got to be a connection there with I don't know. It's so confusing. Let us know in the comments what you all think. Also, if you're watching us right now on YouTube, please make sure to give us a thumbs up. Give us, let us know in the comments section your thoughts for tonight's episode. And also chime in for the special segment that we have, because we love to see what you all have to say and keep the conversation going. If you're listening to us on any podcast, please give us a rating of 5 stars and leave us your comments there. We will definitely shout you out here because we love to keep the conversation going with you all. We also give our social media handles at the end of the day, at the end of the show. And so you can definitely get in touch with us there. DM us your comments, certain questions, certain things that you want to see for the show. And also make sure to follow at AfterBuzzTV on all social platforms. So now let's jump to our special segment. And Ethan, do you want to take it away?
I will take it away. Yes. All right, everyone. We play this game here called How Many F's Do I Give? Which is inspired by Erika Jayne's song, How Many F's Do I Give? All right, guys, we're going to find out. So I'm going to name 3 moments from last night's episode, and everyone tell me, comments here on the panel, tell me how many F's you give. 10 F's means you give a lot of F's. 5 F's means you give a moderate amount of F's. And 0 F's means you do not give an F. All right? So, first moment. Now, this may be a little nitty gritty, but did anybody give an F about the fact that Denise Richards was wearing heels to the party after we just saw her get hernia surgery? Because I give like 10 F's. That seems wrong. That seems like that would hurt.
Yeah, I actually, for her safety and like for her health, I actually do give 10 F's because it looks brutal. Even as she was walking out of the car, it looked like she couldn't walk. And I'm like, girl, I'm sure the other girls will understand the fact that you just had surgery and you're not in heels. It was too much.
Okay, I give 10 F's about her being at the party. And I'm glad she was there for that reason, because this Aaron moment really like made the episode for me, and he wouldn't have been there alone. Let's be real. Also, you know what I gave like 12 F's about is that her reasoning for having such a high tolerance for pain. Remember when she said when she was younger and she sliced her leg and her mom took out a hose to hose her down with a cigarette in her mouth and said, you'll be fine. And Denise was like, I was eventually. She goes, I think I raised you girls to be too strong and to suck it up. And that's how I am, she said. I gave like 12 F's about that because that was really savage. And those are the kind of moments that make me so happy that Denise is on this show. And, you know, I hope she just stays as a presence on this show. But, you know, what are you going to do?
After hearing that, could not agree more. I know that story. All right, moment number 2. Do you guys give an F if it's couture or ready to wear? Because I give, I'm going to say 5 F's because I can appreciate when something's like couture, something's ready to wear, but I really don't think it matters. I just think it's, you know, it's unique and interesting. But Maite, what do you think?
You know what? I actually, now that you said that, I was going to say I give zero F's, but yeah. I watch Beverly Hills for the glamour, the diamonds, for the ladies to show off, right? And so I actually give 5 F's because I would like to know what they're wearing. I just don't want the word to get overused. Like, this is couture and this is blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I think when you make it so subtle, it just makes it pop even more as opposed to you having to say it. It's like if you have a Gucci shirt and it's the only Gucci shirt you have and you wear it all the time and you tell people that you have it, it loses its value. So I would prefer to have it sprinkled in or show me some closets. I like that, that I live for. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd say I give like 2 F's about whether or not, I don't care if it's couture or ready to wear, but I don't want them showing up in Ross Dress for Less. You know, like,
right.
I care that it's like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills material, but if you're coming in like a, you know, Target spinoff line, then mm-hmm. something's going wrong, you know. But in the comments, they're saying, most people are saying they give 0. Ace E says 0. It just got to be cute and funky. Amen.
Yeah.
I like that. I like mm-hmm. that. All right, guys. Last for this special segment, how many F's do you guys give about cancer apparently being like on your side, doing a favor for you? Because I give 10 plus F's about this being so misinformed and wrong from Aaron's, and I was shook when I heard what he said. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I give 10 F's about that because I'm sure this is going to be brought up in the reunion, and he's just going to have to give a dig in, a bigger explanation to what he was talking about, or if it's something that he can't talk about, then he has to save himself from that following him for the rest of, you know, the coming seasons. So it's the first time I've ever heard of such a thing. So it's definitely, it was weird.
So weird. Jane?
I give negative 10 F's because I just am sticking to scientific published textbook research knowledge and not okay. whatever Aaron is saying at dinner on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't know about this. But you know what? People are very polarized in the comments because people are saying that they'd give 10 F's because it was such a good moment at dinner. Neuro Nadia said 10 okay. F's for the moment. Hilarious and awkward.
Awkward for sure.
Couldn't agree.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
I love our special segment. Thank you guys for playing along.
Yeah, thanks for
the
playing.
The comments are seriously popping off. You guys awesome. Are awesome. And we do this for you. So yes. Thank you for having a blast in there.
Ethan, thank you so much for that special segment. And now we're going to jump into some news. So Jane, do you want to take it away?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Speaking of those comments, you know, Amir, our lovely AfterBuzz TV host, is in the comments and he was literally sending quotes from articles about what Aaron does. So I have to cover this as news because he said, the 47-year-old actor first met Denise at the healing center in Malibu that he runs, which is designed to foster optimal health in mind, body, and spirit. Denise Richards revealed that her safety is in jeopardy as she gets followed regularly due to husband Aaron Pfeiffer's job in frequency medicine. We still don't really know what this means.
So I remember Erica said something like, but you're not a doctor. So he's not a doctor, is he?
Right. Erica was saying he's not a doctor. So he has a frequency medicine career. I think it's hippie to be holistic stuff, but we'll just have to keep digging deeper and I'll continue to have it as news every week until we figure it out. Okay. So So there's a lot of Teddy drama popping off in news. Maite is our Bravo News Daily batch, and she is bringing it hardcore. So this week she reported on how Teddy and accused Brandy and Denise of leaking stories of rumored romance during production. So basically, Teddy thinks that they were just feeding all of these stories so that they could have a hand in how they want viewers to feel while they're watching this season. Yeah, and Teddy definitely was sounding off with that kind of vibe in a recent interview that she did with Entertainment Tonight. She was talking about how, you know, she wasn't even really naming names, but she was talking about Denise when she said that, like, a lot of people are doing press and saying things in order to dictate how fans are going to feel and how she thinks that that's wrong. They're going to feel how they want to feel, whether or not you try to control the narrative, which she's talking about Denise. But there were so many key moments in this interview. It's like a 16-minute long interview, and I would highly recommend that you watch. But basically, she called out that meta moment in the trailer where Denise says, "Bravo, bravo, bravo," and storms off. Yeah. And everyone's like, "Oh my God, it's so meta that she's breaking the fourth wall and saying bravo, bravo, bravo," which is a thing, obviously, from season one, where Kyle was saying the OGs used to just like put on their makeup and they didn't want to be seen without a full face. So they'd say, "Bravo, bravo, bravo. What's up, Andy Cohen? Hey," you know, so that they wouldn't be able to be filmed when they're not ready to go. Oh. So that was a trick that they used to do. But basically, when that moment came out, Teddy tweeted, "Bravo, bravo, bravo always keeps it rolling, even when you try to control things." And then Denise had to have been drunk, is what Teddy was saying, on a little bit of Casamigos, because she tweeted back, "You were that someone that told me Kyle Richards about it." So I think she was trying to say, "You were the person who told me and Kyle Richards about it." So I don't know if there was a little bit of confusion or there or what. And then Teddy was kind of really shady, saying like, "I don't know if it's you talking to me or if it's Casamigos talking to me," but... Yeah. Anyway, a lot went on in all of this. And the main key point was that Teddy said that she thinks Denise is going to be at the reunion, but she wasn't alluding to whether or not she thinks Denise will be in the next season. And the way that she was answering the question made it seem like she doesn't really think that Denise will be in the next season. And it just brings me to a lot of Twitter news, in that people are saying there are these huge trends in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills where each season they gang up on one person and essentially push them out. And they feel like this is happening with Denise, that everyone's ganging up on her and pushing her out. And it kind of felt like the way that Teddy was answering these questions, they're maybe pushing her out. So I don't know, you guys.
That's a lot.
A lot is happening. My head's exploding from all this drama. All I know is that there's going to be a lot more news where that came from throughout this season. You guys, it is giving me life.
Yes, totally. There'll be a lot more news and we'll be covering it here for sure. Jane digs herself into these Twitter holes, these like internet. I swear she just finds the best when it comes to news. So if you think we won't know, Jane will know. So we'll definitely be chatting.
I get so invested. And don't think I don't read every single one of your comments. So if you guys have good news tips, tip me off and I will dive deep and get to the bottom of it for next week.
1000%. So quickly, very quickly, I really want to do a predictions. If we can go on into your predictions.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So this prediction, I want you all to give me one prediction of what you think will happen at Teddy's retreat. So who wants to go first?
I'm going to put in my 2 cents and say that several will not show up. I think Teddy has aired so much like dirty laundry at this point. Like there's going to just be, I feel like half of them might even just make the executive choice not to go. I think it's going to be a failure.
I feel that way too. I definitely think some people are not going to show up. And again, I'll say, I don't necessarily know if it'll happen, but like, I want to see some transformation from some of these ladies. I think they're going to actually laugh it off and be like kind of rude about it. But I would like to see a little bit more accountability from people. And I think that if Sutton really takes this seriously, she could have a booming boutique business.
Oh, wow. That's a big prediction right there.
I don't think she's going to show up, Jane. I'm just saying it now. But.
Oh, you guys don't think Sutton will show up? They showed a preview and Sutton does show up.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Yeah, she's with the gloves and she looks so lost. She's like, what, everyone's like punching and doing things and she's got her gloves on looking everywhere like, what the hell is this? What am I doing? So she does, yeah.
And someone was giving her shade. I forget who, if you guys remember, someone was giving Sutton shade of like, she couldn't take anyone out. I want to say it was Erica,
I don't know if it was Erica or Dorit. I think it was one of them.
This was the preview last night?
Yes, it was in the preview last
night. I saw like, maybe I just turned off the TV after the show was
probably. My
there
prediction.
There was a lot to take in.
Yeah, my prediction for what's to happen, I think that I also agree with you all. I think not all of the ladies will show up. And I do think that maybe towards the middle of the season, Teddy will bring it up again and say, well, if you're not there for me, how can I be there for you? Because she does take everything to heart, although she says that she doesn't. And so I think that she will definitely, this is just going to pile on even more. And maybe this is why Teddy will start to be the villain. So I don't think this is the end of the retreat. Even if we watch it next week, I think it's just going to probably go with us for the next season, which I hope not. But with these ladies, you just never know. Some ladies just don't let things go. So it's kind of hard to decide. All right. Well, that was our predictions for the retreat, which is the episode coming up next week. We are super happy that you sticked with us this long to chat about one of our favorite reality TV shows. So that is it for us today. But before we say our goodbyes, Ethan and Jane, do you want to let everybody know where they can find you on social media?
Sure. I'm at Ethan, the letter B, Paisley on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
And I'm Jane Johnson, J-A-N-E, Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-E-N, _ on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all the things. Plus, I'm doing a Quarantine with the Stars Bravo Celebrity series for AfterBuzz. And next week, I'm interviewing Paige and Jules from Summer House.
My name is Maite Creo. You can find me everywhere at This Is Maite. I also cover Bravo News daily, so got some interesting stuff today.
Daro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just